Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. If you want to come in, you can grab your Bible, turn to the book of Proverbs. We are in chapter 1, and let me invite my buddy Rehan up. Rehan is going to read for us this morning. So, morning, Rehan. How you doing?
Good.
Good to see you. So, Rehan, tell us what grade you're in.
I'm in 4th grade.
Is this on? Is it coming through? There we go. All right, tell us what grade you're in.
I'm in 4th grade.
4th grade, awesome. What's your favorite sport?
Probably tennis.
I like tennis. That's a good sport. We'll have to play sometime.
Yeah.
You got to go easy on me.
Okay.
I'm old. All right. Well, we're glad to have you read for us this morning. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Praise the Lord, church. My name is Rehan, and I'll be reading Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right is just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables. The saying and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. Great job. Man, we might have a regular job for him, huh? It's a problem. If you do something too well, we're just going to have you do it every week. But just love having the kids participate in service. Just a joy to have that. Well, have you ever been in a situation in which you realized that your understanding of the situation was inadequate for what you needed? Sure, I heard some chuckles. I think we've all been in different situations where we just feel like, man, I feel totally inadequate. Sometimes you don't even realize you're inadequate until the situation is over. I could go through and talk about numerous things in my life, but one that comes to mind was when I first started in the corporate world. I came to faith in college, my freshman year in college. Reaching out, doing a lot of stuff with our campus ministry, and then graduated, came on staff with the campus ministry, and then from there, I went to seminary, did 3 years in school, and then just one of those weird providences of God that didn't make sense to me, I graduated seminary, and came on staff with as a corporate salesperson. Wasn't really what we drew up, but it just felt like that's where God had us. And so I'm in the corporate world. I'm doing sales, which is something that I never thought I would do. But I just felt like, well, God has me here, so let me make the most of it. Didn't know much about sales. Enjoyed talking to people. I was good at talking to people, building relationships. And I just thought, well, I don't want to be the stereotypical sales rep. So I had a good friend of mine that was in sales, and he just said, you know what? I'm there to serve people. If I'm there to serve people, then God's going to take care of me. It's like, that's fantastic. I'm going to do the same thing. So I just had this attitude that, hey, I'm there to serve other people, so let me do that as best as I can. And first few weeks, months, things were going well. I had some success because of that. And that brought me into my first bigger deal, that a potential customer that I was working with. And so I was super excited about that. So I just took that attitude. It's like, let me serve this guy. I'm gonna serve him as best as I can and show him, like, nobody else can take as good a care of you as I can. And so if he had a question, I was there to answer it. He had a request. Hey, can you itemize these different expenses that I'm currently doing? And how can you show me how you can benefit? Absolutely. Let me take that. Let me itemize your expenses, color code it on a sheet, make it all as easy as possible for you as I can. And I thought it was going well, and my boss started asking a lot of questions. It was kind of frustrating me, and I didn't get it. And so finally, he's talking. He's like, I'm coming with you on your next appointment. I want to be there. I want to see what's going on with this. And I was like, well, okay, just don't mess up my deal. Like, this is my baby. Don't mess it up. And he said, of course I won't mess it up. All right. So we have a sit down with me, my boss, and the customer, and we extend some kind of casual, general pleasantries, and then him, in his typical New York style bull in China shop, cut to the chase, just said from the get-go, so we can do this, this, and this. If we do this, this, and this, are you going to do business with us or are you wasting our time? I'm like, my deal, my baby, what are you doing? Like, this is not the way we drew it up. This is not the way to serve them. But I realized I couldn't really have that debate with my boss right there, so I thought that would get really awkward, so I'm just going to sit back and kind of see where this thing goes. The customer kind of beat around the bush, so my boss really proceeded to ask the same question in two or three different ways. And I noticed the customer was getting a little more uncomfortable. And finally he came out and said, look, I'm in a long-term contract with my other vendor, and I am in no position to change. And that's when I started to realize that my customer, my baby, he was taking my color-coded spreadsheets and handing them to his current vendor to work them over for a better deal. He had no intentions of ever signing with me. He was just using a green sales rep to better himself. It was devastating to me. If you think about me and my reaction, you know, just the no, it was my reaction. It was like when Buddy the Elf realizes that his dad is on the naughty list. Do you remember that? Just no! Like, it was devastating. But I realized in that moment that my boss, he was a seasoned business guy. He was a seasoned sales rep. And there were some things that he had keyed in on that he realized there's a problem here. And when he realized that, he asked some direct questions to really cut through the chase. I realized that he had a wisdom that I didn't have. He had a wisdom on navigating some of these complex situations that I just didn't know. In that moment, I realized that, yes, I need to serve people, but I also need to be wise in how I do that. Remind me of Jesus' words. Jesus was wise. He was wise in how he dealt with people, and he told his followers that you need to be as shrewd as a serpent and as innocent as a dove. We realize that there are complicated situations that we often end up in life. And if we're going to navigate those successfully, we are going to need wisdom. Well, we're starting a study on the book of Proverbs, and the purpose of this book is to impart wisdom. It's to give us wisdom in how to navigate life, how to go through the complexities that we sometimes encounter. I love what Puritan pastor William O'Brakel, he said this. He said, wisdom is an absolute necessity, for you are surrounded by your enemies. The devil is crafty, the world is deceptive, and the flesh tempts in a most subtle manner. You must either give up or let these enemies rule over you. Or, if you wish to preserve your life, your peace, your godliness, you must be on guard, prudently avoiding the snares which have been laid for you, and prudently carrying out that which the Lord has commanded you to do. We need wisdom, and God has provided a way for us to acquire such wisdom. God has designed the world to function in certain ways, and wisdom helps us discern and live according to the patterns that he has for us. Wisdom is God's imparted knowledge for doing the right thing at the right time in the right way. And so this book of the Bible is given so that we can grow in wisdom. And so we are going to dive into studying this book. We're going to spend several weeks in this book getting to know it and what God has for us. So today we're going to get oriented to the book and God's purpose for wisdom. So the first thing to see in this book is the title of the book. We see this in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Proverbs. It's interesting that God provides to us a book of Proverbs. You may think of the different literature of the Bible and the different ways that God communicates what he's doing in the world. He's given us promises. So God made a promise to Abraham that he would bless Abraham, bless all nations through Abraham, and that his people would be as numerous as the sand of the sea. That's a promise that God made. We also see that God gives the law. The law, do not steal, do not murder. So we see how God reveals himself in different ways. But we also see that there are times in life that there are nuances to what we're going through that sometimes aren't covered by the promises and aren't directed by the law. And that's where we need wisdom. Wisdom to apply God's promises, wisdom to apply His law. We need wisdom for those things. And so Proverbs is to teach wisdom. The word proverb found in verse 1, it can mean a parable. It can mean an allegory. It can also mean a discourse. So it's basically a way of teaching, a way of communicating knowledge. A proverb, typically we think of proverb as a short, pithy statement. Neat word, pithy, right? Short, pithy statement. We're familiar with non-biblical proverbs. Maybe you think of the proverb, look before you leap, right? It's short, it's pithy, and it conveys a lot of important wisdom. Maybe another one, don't count your chickens before they hatch, right? You've got to count those chickens today because they're getting expensive, right? Those eggs are valuable. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Maybe familiar with Benjamin Franklin's famous proverb, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. All right, you're well-educated on Franklin. So these proverbs, they help us understand things about life, and the biblical proverbs are similar. But typically, the biblical proverbs, they're found in what's called parallelism, in which line one parallels line two. Sometimes, and this is a fun word, sometimes they occur in antithetical parallelism. That's just a fun way to say that line two contradicts line one. And we learn from that. You know, as we come across the Proverbs, they require reflection and thought. We've got to think about it. As we discern what's being communicated in that proverb, a lot of times it helps us discern things in the world. We've got a couple Proverbs just to see this in action. Proverbs 26:14. Actually, we don't have this on the screen. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, as a door turns on its hinge. Oh, we do have it up there. As a door turns on its hinge, so does a sluggard on his bed. You see the parallel structure there? The door turns on its hinge. The sluggard turns on his bed. Just showing the laziness that's there. That's in parallelism. The next proverb, Proverbs 12:15, this is an antithetical parallelism. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. It's contrasting several things there. First of all, it's contrasting the fool and the wise man. And it's contrasting one thinks that things are right in his own eyes versus the wise man who listens to counsel. He seeks out advice. Those are contrary terms, and there's a truth being taught in that. These proverbs, they're not promises, they're not laws, they're general truths. They require discernment. We have to discern what's being said in there. We also have to discern which proverb we apply to our lives, similar to non-biblical proverbs. A proverb, by nature, it can't defend against endless assertions. It's got to be applied in a specific way. You know, a proverb, maybe you're in a long-distance dating relationship, and you're discouraged. Man, I can't see my girlfriend. And your friend comes up and says, hey, it's okay, man. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Right? You're like, yes, that helps me. That's encouraging. But then maybe you call up your girlfriend, and she's like, hey, man, look, out of sight, out of mind. Right? You got to know which proverb to apply in which setting. You know, there are other proverbs. Familiarity breeds contempt. Home is where the heart is, right? You got to figure out, wait a minute, which do I apply? How does this relate? The proverbs, they call for reflection to understand. It's a word picture that requires us to reflect on and discern what's going on. If you're looking for something to read, something to do in your quiet times, maybe if you're not in a habit of doing that, a great thing to do over the next few weeks is read one proverb a day. If you're in a month other than February, you could take a proverb a day. There's 31 proverbs, and in 31 days, you would read through the entire book. It's a great way to start off. Read one chapter a day. Underline what stands out to you. Come back and reflect on that. Proverbs, there are short, pithy statements. Chapters 10 through 31 are those short statements. Chapters 1 through 9 are longer proverbs. Remember, a proverb can also be a discourse. And so you see in chapters 1 through 9, there are sections on the fear of the Lord, on purity, on righteousness, on wisdom. And we're in a section today that is the prologue to the book of Proverbs. It's what it tells us what the whole book is about. It tells us what wisdom is about. Chapter 1 is the prologue to the book and the key to understanding the whole book. So we're going to dive into this. We've talked about the Proverbs. I also want to talk about the author. The Proverbs of Solomon. That's what it says on the screen. The Proverbs of Solomon. These are the Proverbs of Solomon. He's son of David, king of Israel. We're reading the words of Solomon. It's really neat to be able to read. I don't know if you value reading or not. I didn't always value reading. One of my great achievements in high school is that I went through all of high school without having to read a book. That's my accomplishment in high school. I don't know if I ever actually read a book. I'm not saying I was super smart. I'm not saying I did super well in high school. I'm just saying I made it through without having to read a book. When I came to faith my freshman year in college, it started to change. I started reading the Bible. I started realizing that, man, God has spoken to us and I can know him. So I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to read everything about the Bible. And then as I started to read about the Bible, I started reading what others thought. I was like, this is amazing. And then as I started studying other subjects, I was like, wow, this is the world God has created. And reading allows me to enter into the thoughts and minds and work of people that long preceded me. If I want to read about what Athanasius, a great 4th century Christian theologian, what he wrote about the heresies of his day and how to oppose them, I can go and I can read his book. I can see what he said. If I want to read what Martin Luther had to say about justification by faith, I can go and read his work from the 16th century. It's amazing. I can also, if I want to read about government, I can go and I can read Plato's Republic from, I think, the 4th century B.C. and see what this influential figure in Western civilization, how he thought a nation should govern. It's amazing what reading introduces you to, but in the Bible, we are being introduced to the revealed Word of God. And there is nothing more powerful and more enlightening than what he says to us. Reading allows us to go there. And here we have God's word revealed. And specifically, God chose to reveal his word through Solomon, one of the wisest people to ever live. King Solomon, he was a man renowned for his wisdom. People would come from other nations to hear what he had to say. Come from other nations to see what he was doing. Come from other places to test his wisdom. And they walked away amazed. Where did Solomon get such wisdom? Well, he was obviously a wise man from birth, but there's also an event in his life in which God spoke to him. And God said, ask whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And Solomon said this. He said, give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great people? Solomon, you know, as king, he realized the great challenge of governing this people, and he prayed for the Lord to give him wisdom, and the Lord gave him wisdom. He said, because you didn't ask just for victory over your enemies, or you didn't just ask for money, but you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you all those other things as well. Solomon was a man renowned for his wisdom and all the things that God did through him. And Solomon put these words together, his words and also the words of others that he found helpful. He put this book together in order to guide the kings of Israel so that they would be wise in dealing with the people. That's who wrote this book, but let's also get into the purpose of this book. The purpose of the book, we see this in verses 2 through 4. We have that on the screen. Wow, that's little. I don't know if you can see it. Yeah, you can see it up here better. The purpose is to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity. It's really neat to read this. There's a lot of encouragement in it. Kings needed wisdom to reign. This book is given, intended to help them grow. You know, I can remember a buddy of mine early in his career. He was super excited about business, and he wanted to be a leader. And I remember talking to him shortly after he had an event that we'll just say it didn't go as well as he would like. And he was devastated. He was devastated because he wanted to be a great leader and it didn't go well. And so he's struggling with that. So he went and got a book at the store on being a great leader. And this influential entrepreneur basically said, look, you're either a leader or you're not a leader. And if someone's not a leader, don't waste your time with them. And so my friend reads that and he's like, man, my whole calling in life is destroyed right now. I thought I was going this direction. I read it, and now I don't think I'm a leader. I've failed. Like, what is left for me to do in life? That guy had said, you either have it or you don't. You can't acquire it. The Proverbs, they have a different lesson for us. It tells us that one of the purposes here is to give prudence to the simple, is to give wisdom to the simple. Simple, you could translate it foolish. Young and foolish. It's giving wisdom to people like that. What he's saying here is that you can grow in your gifts. You can grow in your skill. You may not be where you want to be right now. It's okay. Pursue it. Pursue the Lord. Pursue what he has for you. Grow in your gifts. Grow in your ability. Proverbs tells us to seek after wisdom like we seek after silver and gold. It's something it's valuable. We don't just sit back. We don't just rest. I'm not that great of a leader. Oh, well. I'm not that great of a king. I'm foolish. I'll never be as wise as my father. No. That's the wrong attitude to have. We're told in Proverbs to seek after it, to seek after wisdom. The way you're driven to seek after money, seek after wisdom. Seek after learning. Seek after discernment. That's what we're told to do in the book of Proverbs. That's the purpose of this. The purpose is to give wisdom so you can grow in wisdom. You can grow in who you are and the gifts God has given to me. I remember reading this early in my walk with the Lord, and I can remember, given my academic history in high school, I had to make a lot of changes when I got to college, right? And so I had to work really hard to do well when I got to college. And I just started to love learning and reading and all that stuff. So I started doing well. But I just remember there was a time where I'm praying for my test. God, give me an A. God, let me ace this thing. And I started realizing, it's like, wait a minute, that's contrary to what God calls me to do. Like, I need to actually understand what I'm doing. And what's better, if I just ace this test miraculously or if I actually understand the content behind it? Changed how I prayed. Also, same thing happened when I was in the business world. I started, God, give me this deal. Give me this deal. Help me get a deal. Get a deal. And I started realizing, it's like, God, I do want to pray that you'd provide for me, but I want to pray that you would give me the skill. Help me to be like my boss that is seasoned and can discern things. I want that ability. Proverbs encourages us to seek after it. That's the purpose of the book. That's one of the things God has for us. We don't just rest on our laurels. No, we lean into what God calls us to do. We want to grow and be sharpened. We grow in wisdom. The purpose is to give wisdom. That's a key theme of this book. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? It's obviously a knowledge, right? There's a knowledge to it. But there's some people that can ace a test that just can't do anything with that knowledge in the real world, right? We see that a lot. Man, you got degrees, but you got no wisdom, right? We need all of that combined. Wisdom, it is knowledge, but it's a skill. Wisdom is actually used of a man named Haran who had great skill in making bronze. He had skill in that. You ever see a craftsman crafting? There's a skill in that. He has a knowledge. There's a practical skill as well. Wisdom kind of denotes all of those things. When you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to see not just wisdom, but you're going to see other things come together. You're going to see sometimes wisdom, it's translated different ways. Sometimes it's knowledge. Sometimes it's prudence. Sometimes it's discernment. You see this complex of words. So it's not just a single feature. You see things like knowledge, insight, prudence, cunning, discretion, learning, guidance, counsel, strength, discipline. All of those go into being wise. It's one of the things that Proverbs is going to teach us. It's not just one thing. It's many of these facets of wisdom. Think of wisdom having a lot of facets. If you're going to be wise, you got to be disciplined. If you're going to be wise, you got to have a knowledge of things. If you're going to be wise, you've got to learn from other people. You've got to get counsel. You've got to have humility to want to learn from others. Wisdom entails all of these. That's the wisdom that God has for us. We also see another purpose in this book. Which verse is this? Let me read it. In verse 3, to receive instruction in wise dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity. Why does God give us the Proverbs? So that we might do what is right, just, and fair. That's what wisdom allows you to do. That's what we should be seeking to do. Now, typically American culture, maybe American Christianity, we just think, God, give me wisdom so I can get money, 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 right? Give me wisdom so I can get promotion, promotion, promotion. Give me wisdom so I can have glory, glory, glory. God gives us wisdom so that you can do what is just, right, and fair. That's very different. A lot of times our desires, they reveal the idols of our culture, and money and glory and all that, that's the idols of our culture. God calls us to do what is right, just, and fair. This is a fantastic proverb to memorize. This whole prologue, memorize it. If you don't know it, memorize it. You're in a difficult situation at work, what do? Well, let me do what is just, right, and fair. That's what he calls us to do. If you're trying to figure out what is my purpose in the workplace, do what's just, right, and fair. What's going on with my situation there with this customer? Well, it's a messy situation. I need to figure out what is just, right, and fair. How do we handle that? There's complicated situations. You don't need to wound the other person. You don't need to hurt them. Not just looking to make more money for yourself. Do what is right, just, and fair. You know, our culture today, I think about social media influencers. You ever hear that term? You ever see influencers, and they're great at making short, catchy videos that really have no substance, right? These influencers, there's no character, there's no substance to their lives. They've just kind of found a way to, their skill is being able to offer these nuggets that there's not a whole lot to them. You don't get a depth of character, and they can do something that just goes viral, that it's catchy. But there's very little substance to it. They're making money, but there's no substance. And most of our culture, if we got to choose between just having money or having the substance, most people would take, just give me the money. And that's why they get money and then it's gone really quick. There's no substance. God calls us to have a substance in who we are. There's to be a depth of character. We're not content just to make money. We've got to make money the right way. And if we're making money in ways that it's not just, right, and fair, then it's not worth doing what we're doing. We want to honor the Lord first and foremost. That's what we're called to do. And there's times in life where you get in messy situations because other people aren't doing what they should. We're actually told in this passage that there are some who despise wisdom. You're going to go through life and see people that despise wisdom. They have no interest in it. And they can often put you in very difficult situations. Solomon experienced that. There was a day where there's an account of him where two prostitutes come to him, and they're having an argument. They both had babies, and in the night, one of the prostitutes rolled over, and the baby died. She swaps her dead baby with the living baby of the other. And so they're having this argument, what do we do? And they come to Solomon wanting him to figure it out. Complicated situation, right? When people aren't making good decisions, it puts you in a difficult place. Solomon's wisdom. It's interesting what he does. He says, cut the baby in half. Give half to that one and half to this one. The first prostitute says, fine, that's great. Second one says, no, no, no. Give the baby to her. And Solomon very quickly discerns, that's the mother. No mother is going to let her child be cut in half. His wisdom allowed him to cut through the situation and find out what was going on. It allowed him to execute justice and righteousness. If we're going to be lights in the world, if we're going to honor the Lord, then we are called to do what is just, right, and fair. Making money isn't our end goal. Being rich and famous isn't our end goal. We want to honor the Lord. We want to have our values changed by the Word of God. We want to have our values changed by what God calls us to do and how He calls us to do those things. And that brings us to the essence of wisdom. the essence or the source of wisdom. We see in verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." How do we gain wisdom? You know, it'd be nice if we just had this simple three-step process. Do these three steps and you will be wise. We like simplicity. But this, it tells us that, no, there is a spiritual component to wisdom. There's a spiritual component to it. It is the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. But that word for beginning, it's not just beginning as in, well, I started out in kindergarten. Now I've progressed. I'm in fifth grade. In fifth grade, you don't do what you did in kindergarten, right? That's like a first step. It's a first step. It's elementary. You do it in the beginning, but it's also the source. It's more like a spring. If you ever go to a spring and you find the beginning of the spring, well, that's where the spring starts, but it continues out of that. That's the beginning, that's the head, that's the source. The source, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, is walking in the fear of the Lord. It's fearing the Lord above anything and everything else. It's having Him first in your life. Makes me think about, I was recently working with one of my kids on throwing the football. We're out practicing throwing the football. And one of the things, if you're not into sports, you may not know it, but it seems kind of ironic, but one of the key things to you being able to throw the football in the right direction is where your feet are lined up. And so I take my kids out and we're working on this and I'm telling them, I was like, look, you know, you're going to throw the ball over here. You want your feet to be lined up. You know, you want, draw the line and where your feet are lined up, that takes you in that direction. And it's always interesting because I'm straight ahead and, you know, they throw it to me, but he steps this way and then throws it and it ends up somewhere over there. I'm like, look, you know, you're trying to throw it. You're saying you're going to throw it this way, but you just stepped in a direction that it took all your movement in a different direction. You looked this way, stepped that way, and threw it a different direction. You missed it completely. Having your feet lined up right is key to being able to throw the ball at where you want to throw it. And what Proverbs is telling us is that if we want to make wise decisions, we've got to have our right stance. And that stance is having the fear of the Lord. That what God says about us is the most important thing, and that what God calls us to do is the most important thing, and honoring Him is what we're most concerned with. We're not just concerned with money. We're not just concerned with other people liking us or thinking well of us. We want to honor Him. That's the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the first step. We're going to see in Proverbs. Proverbs talks about a lot of different things. It talks about being wise in business. It talks about being wise in relationships, wise in speech, wise in marriage, in parenting. It talks about being wise with money, wise with sex. And if you want to get those things right, the first step is having the fear of the Lord. That's the first step. If you miss this, you're out of alignment for everything else. This is what God calls us to do. If we're out of alignment with what the Creator of the universe designed us to do, then there's going to be problems in other areas. God calls us to fear Him and honor Him. And the problem happens with a lot of professing believers where they say one thing, but their steps line up to do another. They're saying, yeah, hey, Jesus is my everything. And you're like, well, you're saying this, but man, you're ending up over here. Something's out of alignment. Something's out of alignment with your life. You can't keep saying those things and then living in this pattern. Wisdom begins. Walking in wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And we're reminded in this passage that the fear of the Lord, it's the beginning, and that fools despise wisdom and instruction. I mean, it's amazing that what God holds out to us, what He promises to us, and the most foolish thing we can do is reject what He offers to us and go our own way. And yet it happens all the time. Many people will choose to do their own thing rather than receive the wisdom of God. They despise Him. They walk away from it. It's really interesting. You know, despise, it can be that look you give to the guy who just cut you off in rush hour traffic, right? When you give him the evil, the stink eye, right? That you are not happy with him. You're looking with disdain. You're angry. The fumes are just coming out of your nostrils. The injustice that was done to you, right? That's despise. Do you know that despise, it can also be to be disinterested. That's what scares me. It's not that you hate it, not that you hate God. You know, you'd be like the Doobie Brothers. Jesus is all right with me. He's all right. Just kind of keep him over there. I don't want to do my own thing. That's not what it means to walk with him. That's not what it means to walk with God. We can despise him by just being disinterested. Ah, man, I know, church, I can go hear the word, but just got a few other things I need to do today. What is the heart attitude of that? The heart attitude is you're disinterested. There's better things, more important things than the creator of the universe. I'd rather just work a little bit more. Man, I've got some shows I've been meaning to binge watch. Just got to catch up on that, right? If we're going to be wise, we've got to walk with the wise. And that begins with a walk with the Lord. You can't grow in wisdom if it's detached from your walk with God. The beginning of being wise, the beginning of doing the right thing, the beginning of doing what is just and right and fair, the beginning of being a dad who can discern what is just and right and fair with your children, in your family, begins with the fear of the Lord. Being a great employee, being a great teacher, it begins with the fear of the Lord. It's not just an optional step. Hey, maybe if I really, you know, want to become like a saint, you know, then I'll. No, this is the basics of walking with God. It's fearing him. It's loving him. It's desiring to know him. There is a relationship between walking in wisdom and walking with God. And that right there, you there's a relationship there, and it causes you need to determine your relationship with God. If you want wisdom, you want to do wise things, it begins with walking with the Lord. Remember, I don't know if it still gets said, I'm an old guy, so I can't remember some of these things, but I remember a few years ago, in the dating world, they'd call it DTR, define the relationship. Anybody ever been there where it's like, hey, you know, we're hanging out? I'm like, well, you sure are hanging out with Susie a lot. Like, you know, oh, you're just friends. Okay, well, it seems like you're always grabbing coffee with Susie. Like, what's going on? And then Susie's like, well, hey, all my friends are asking, like, what's going on? And you say, well, nothing. And then she's like, what do you mean nothing, right? It's confusion. What is going on in the relationship? You've got to define the relationship. Hey, are we just friends? If we're just friends, I'm upset, right? We boyfriend, girlfriend? Like, you've got to define the relationship. Marriage, it defines a relationship. Boyfriend, girlfriend defines where you're at. Well, you've got to define where you're at in your walk with the Lord. Is he your Lord and Savior? Are you looking to him for all that you have? Or is it just kind of like a, you know, hey, I just kind of casually glance in the paper for a little wisdom. I kind of casually glance on Twitter to get a little wisdom from these other entrepreneurs. And I kind of casually glance at the Bible to get a little inspiration. Or is it, no, I believe that these are the words of God. These are the words that God has for me to live by, to commit to. That one day I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account of how I've lived. Give an account of what I've done. You've got to define your relationship with Jesus Christ. As we go through Proverbs, we're going to see that Jesus, he's the ultimate wise man. He was blameless. He went through life perfectly. He went through some difficult situations and always did what was right, just, and fair. He never sinned, not once. And it's amazing we see God's wisdom. How does God save sinners and remain just? To sending his son to be the perfect sacrifice. We can be forgiven because of what Jesus has done. And when we see what he's done, we realize that he is the source of wisdom. This is what the New Testament says. Jesus, he has become for us wisdom. So if we want to grow wise, we walk with the wise. And the first step in being wise is submitting to the Lord to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's what it means to be wise. And so if we want to learn from this book, if we want to glean wisdom to do the right thing, if we want to learn how to navigate those difficult situations in life, it begins with surrendering all to Jesus Christ. Surrendering all to the Lord of saying, you are first. I'm laying everything else down. If I get one thing in right life, in life, and only one, it's this, that I'm going to serve you, that I'm going to follow you. And that's what we're called to do. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we just we thank you for these words. We thank you for the gift of these Proverbs, the gift of wisdom that helps us understand life. And we just see the truthfulness of your word as it helps us to navigate every part of life, not just some parts, not just Sunday mornings, but the difficult and the complex things that we walk through. And God, I just pray that you would give us wisdom. I pray that you would help us to follow you and trust you, and that we would see how true wisdom, it begins with walking with you. And Lord, I want to pray for us. I do want to pray. I know many of us, we may be in a difficult situation right now, and I want to pray for you in that. If you're just at a place where you say, man, I've got a situation, I just don't know what to do, I want to pray that God would lead you through that. Will you just lift your hand that we can pray for you? Just heads bowed and hands lifted. Lord, I just pray for those that are just acknowledging they need wisdom, they need help. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would bless them with knowing the right thing to do. I pray that you would speak to them through your word. I pray that you would speak to them through the friends that they have, that you give them humility to ask others. And I just pray that you would comfort them. Help them to rely on you. I also just pray that they would enjoy the process. Life's not just about getting the result, getting the decision. It's about walking with you as we wait on that. And I pray that you give them patience in that and help them through it. Give them wisdom. Help them know what to do. We ask that in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just also pray for those that maybe they just haven't trusted in you. Lord, I pray that they would see your ultimate wisdom, that you have their best in mind. And I pray maybe where there just hasn't been trust, I pray that as we go through this series, as they read your word, they would begin to trust their lives to you and help them to surrender. Help them to make that decision that I've been one who was disinterested, but I'm surrendering all to the Lord. I pray that they would experience that and that they'd experience what we call the gift of salvation, the gift of knowing you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.